Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Zia, a recording exclusively for QuranWeekly.com. Welcome to the second video in the method of performing Hajj. And again, I'd like to congratulate you on taking this step, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your Hajj and you go back with Al-Hajjul Mabrur, an accepted Hajj inshallah, about which the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajjul Mabrur, laysa lahu jaza illa al-Jannah, that Al-Hajjul Mabrur is the reward is only Jannah for that person. And according to another hadith, that a person, man hajja walam yarfuth walam yasuq raja'a kayyoma waladat ummu, the person who performs the Hajj and he doesn't commit any sin, he doesn't commit any rafath during the days of Hajj, then he is going to come back just like he was born today. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes your Hajj such a Hajj, and inshallah this video and the scholars that are with you and lectures that you've heard, they are there to facilitate that for you. Okay, and why do we need to make these videos? Many people just think that Hajj is just, you know, you go to Mecca and you pray. I mean, it's not like that. There are many, many things that we need to be aware of that are important, that are important aspects of the Hajj. If we neglect them, if we leave them, then there's a possibility that the Hajj may not be accepted. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk simply about the simple aspect of Hajj, the detailed things, the fillers or the du'as and all the rest of the things, you should try to fill them in by yourselves. But I'm just going to focus on the main points so that you don't miss out on the main things, and basically by missing out on them, neglect the whole Hajj by itself. You probably have watched the video, the first video that I recorded, and this was related to performing Umrah first. Because what we are teaching in this two video series is what's known as Hajj Tamattu. Hajj Tamattu means that you perform the Umrah and then you get out of Ihram, relax, you don't have any Ihram restrictions, and then after that you perform Hajj and you go back to an Ihram again. So Tamattu means benefiting, and you're benefiting by having a break in the middle between the Umrah and Hajj. So if you haven't watched that video, which is related to Umrah, please go back and watch it so that you can come back to this video and understand how the actual Hajj is now performed. So let's go into the Hajj and understand how that's done. Before I do that, let me just explain to everyone that Hajj, the majority of the things that you do, you are basically going from place to place and you're staying in those places. The onus is upon us to make sure that when we are going to these places, we don't waste time in idle chit-chat. Okay? For example, in Mina, you're going to be spending all day at the beginning, and then after the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and even the 13th. So all of the time, you're just sitting, really, in the tents. And people, what they tend to do, you know, they tend to sit down and start socializing and talking and chatting and laughing. Although that by itself is not haram or not something that we can say it's forbidden, but the spirit of Hajj is not fulfilled by people that are just wasting their time in idle chit-chat. What we should be doing, making sure that we maybe set a target. Let's say a person sets a target that in the days of Hajj, I'm going to complete the whole Quran. Okay, or I'm going to make so many du'as that I'm going to allocate a certain time only and only for du'a. I'm going to allocate a certain time only for istighfar, and so on and so forth. And make sure that the free time that you have is not spent in idle chit-chat. Okay, so how do we actually perform Hajj? Let's go into it right now. On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, and you're going to be told by your travel agent or the people that you're with when the 8th is, you're going to get ready from wherever you are. Wherever you are, meaning that you are in Aziziyah, or you are in a hotel, or you are in a building in Shisha. In all of these places, you will start the Ihram from wherever you are. You get into the state of Ihram. The brothers, obviously, they will be putting the two sheets on, and the sisters, they're going to be dressed in their regular Islamic attire. And when the ihram is put on and the talbiyah is performed, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, as you've done already before, then the restrictions of ihram have started all over again. And now you're going to be in ihram for the next 2 days or so. Okay, from the 8th, 9th and the 10th, you're going to be in the state of ihram. So now what you're going to do, after putting on the ihram, you're going to go and proceed to Mina. And you're going to be shown to your tent in Mina. And this is the tent that you're going to be spending the time in when you are coming back from Arafah, coming back from Muzdalifah. You're going to be in that same tent. Okay? So, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, you're going to be spending all day in Mina. And you're going to be praying all the salats at their own time. On the morning of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, 9th of Dhul Hijjah is the day of Hajj. It's the day of Arafah. And this is the day about which the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. What that means is that without the day of Arafah, the Hajj is invalid. So you have to be within the boundaries of the plains of Arafah to make sure that your Hajj is valid, even for a few minutes. If you do not stand on the plains of Arafah, your Hajj is invalid, your Hajj is incomplete. So make sure that you do not miss out on this. Also, keep in mind that the day of Arafah is the most important day. The day should be spent in dua, istighfar, and you will see many people, they will be collectively making istighfar, collectively making duas. Participate in those duas. Sometimes, individually, a person cannot get up to that spiritual level of, that attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he hears the dua being made collectively and joins in, he kind of feels that spirituality too. Especially as the day draws to a close and Maghrib time approaches, you will see many, many people engaged in dua. You should be trying to do the same thing and not waste the time at all. The day of Arafah is very, very important. Please also bear in mind that the day of Arafah is a time when everybody is going to be in the plains of Arafah. And that will result in difficulties in the bathroom sometimes, difficulties in the food, a difficulty in taking a nap and resting. So you have to be very patient at that time also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Quran says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. There is no arguing in Hajj. There's no fighting in Hajj. So we need to make sure that we adopt the patience and we do not argue with anybody, we don't fight with anybody because of the difficulties that we have at that time. At the time of Maghrib, you are going to leave Arafah. You're going to leave Arafah and you're going to proceed to what's known as Muzdalifah. And Muzdalifah is basically plains. There's no tent there because obviously you're spending the night there, so there's no aspect of being harmed by the sun. So everybody's going to be out in the open, and this is again a very, very testing time for everybody. There's sometimes difficulty with the bathrooms, sometimes you might not even find a place to rest or sleep, but you are spending the night in Muzdalifah, and this you have to continue until Fajr time. Okay, and remember this, that there is some kind of allowance for people who are disabled, sick, old, ladies. If they want to leave after midnight, they can do so and proceed back to Mina. So basically, what's happening is, again, Muzdalifah, you spend the night there. After Fajr, you proceed. And this is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. It is going to be one of the most difficult days for you from the aspect of physical activity. In Arafah, all you're doing is you're sitting and lying down and basically not moving anywhere. And basically the same thing in Muzdalifah. On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, you're going to do a lot of things. You're going to basically proceed back from Muzdalifah and you're going to perform the first rami. And remember, in Muzdalifah, you're supposed to be collecting stones throwing towards the shaitan, for the rami. Okay? So count how many stones you're going to need for the days that you're going to be there. So 7 for the first day, 21 for the next day, 21 for the next day, and 21 for the next day if you stay till the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. So count how many there are. 21, 21, 21, that is 66. 63, and seven more, 70 stones. Okay, so 70 stones you should try to collect and keep them with you. Okay, now when you go from Muzdalifah to Mina again, on the way, now what they've done is that you will go back on the train. And when you're going back on the train, they've made it in such a way that you're going to cross by the Jamarat. Okay, so you will basically go to the biggest Jamarat, which is, as you're walking, it's the one which is furthest away. You will walk, you will leave the first Jamarat, you will leave the second Jamarat, and you will go to the third Jamarat. Jamarat means the pillars. So the first Jamarat you leave, the second Jamarat you leave, you go to the third Jamarat, and you pelt the pillar, which is a symbolic gesturing of our rejection of the shaitan. The history behind it, I'm sure the scholars in your group will tell you what the history is behind this, that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was about to slaughter his son Ismail under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaitan came to him. And when he came to him, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam threw stones at him. We are also doing the same thing, a symbolic throwing of the stones towards the pillars which signify shaitan. And if you do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this harms the shaitan. But many people, what happens to them, they get emotional. And they are basically throwing bottles, they're throwing shoes, they're doing so many things which are very, very strange. This actually pleases the shaitan. Okay? What we should be doing, you should be throwing the pebbles in a way which is according to the sunnah, and you will find that inshallah this will harm the shaitan much more. Now just a little tip for you here. When you are proceeding towards the Jamarat, you will see that it's kind of like a mob mentality. Everybody's heading towards this Jamarat, and they just attack it from one side. So let's say this is the Jamarat. You'll be approaching it from this side. You'll be approaching it from this side, and people are just going to start throwing the stones from this side. And what you really should be trying to do is going slightly outside the crowd and heading towards this side. What will happen is that you will find that this side of the wall is completely empty. You will just throw the Jamarat, and very, very easily you will complete this throwing of the stones. You will throw seven stones by saying Bismillah Allahu Akbar each time you throw the stone. Now after proceeding from that, you should have given the order for the sacrifice of the animal. Okay, and that takes place behind the scenes. Somebody is going to slaughter the animal for you, and by the time you fulfill the rest of the arkan of that day, that sacrifice would have been done, and you're good to actually cut your hair. And this, at least, the very least, what you can do is you have to wait for the sacrifice to take place before cutting your hair. Okay, so make sure the sacrifice is done, and then cut your hair. Even though the Prophet ﷺ, he allowed, some people said, well, I did this before that, I did that before this. The Prophet ﷺ said, la haraj, there's no problem with it. We should at least try to adopt the sunnah. And the sunnah is the sacrifice, the cutting of the hair, and then you can actually remove the ihram, and then you perform the tawaful ifada. Okay? But the issue is that if the sacrifice is not done, and obviously you are only relying on the agent to tell you it's done, and you perform the cut the hair, that is not appropriate. Okay, I'm not saying it's haram, it is inappropriate, because the sacrifice should be done first, and then the cutting should be done after that, the hair cutting. So my suggestion for everybody is, after performing the rami, proceed to Mecca, proceed to the Kaaba, and perform tawaf al-ifadah. Because tawaf al-ifadah can be performed before your hair is cut. Okay, so perform the tawaf al-ifadah, and then come back, and then basically perform the hair cutting. Cut the hair. And what I tend to do, and I don't know if everybody is capable of doing that, I basically walk all the way from Mina, all the way to the Haram, perform the tawaf al-ifadah, and then walk all the way back again. And during the way, on the way back, there are many people cutting the hair. You can have your hair cut. And once you have your hair cut, you are now completely out of the state of ihram again. And now you proceed back to your tent, take a shower, and basically put on your clothes again. Okay? So this is the time when all of your restrictions of ihram have been lifted because you've also performed tawaf al-ifada. Say for example, you're allowed to actually delay tawaf al-ifada to the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah or the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah if you want to. But my experience is that the more you delay it, the more crowded it gets in the haram. So the best thing to do is early in the morning, you perform the rami, you pelt the shaitan, the jamara, and then straight away start walking and perform tawaf al-ifada, and then come back again. You will find that this is the easiest way to do it, and there'll be the least crowd when you do it this way, inshallah. If you're waiting for a ride to take you, then you're going to wait for many, many hours. And again, the older people, obviously, it's going to be difficult for them to walk such a distance. But for the youngsters, this is the best scenario. You walk to Haram and you walk all the way back again. Okay. Now you come back to Mina, and again, this is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. You spend the rest of the day, obviously, you're going to be exhausted. You spend the rest of the day in Mina, and then the next day, you will perform the rami again. Okay. And this rami has to take place between Dhuhr and Asr time. This is the sunnah to perform it between Dhuhr and Maghrib. But some scholars have allowed for the elderly, the weak and the sick to go from out of these times. In the old days, when it was very difficult to perform the rami, this ruling made sense because many people got trampled, many people got crushed. But in this day and age, when the rami is very easy to do, I would suggest that everybody try to perform it in the time that they can, inshallah. So between Dhuhr and Asr, they will perform the rami, inshallah. And but this time, they're going to be pelting all three pillars. You're going to start from the first pillar, which is the small shaitan, then proceed to the second pillar, and then the third pillar. And then come back to Mina again, and spend the night in Mina. And again, at all three of these jamarat, do exactly the same as I told you. Go back to the right of the pillar and pelt it from there. You'll find that it's going to be very easy for you, inshallah. Again, you go back, spend the night, the whole day and night in Mina. The next day you perform the rami, exactly the same again, which is the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. Okay? And if you want to leave after the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, you have to leave before Maghrib. Because if you are in the boundaries of Mina at Maghrib time, then you have to make rami on the 13th also. Okay? And this is actually better for you. This is the complete hajj. The sunnah is to stay until the 13th. And if you can do that, that's wonderful, that's great. It's only one more day. You are being asked to sacrifice one more day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, think of how many things Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to sacrifice. Think of the things that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are trying to perform the hajj according to the sunnah of our beloved Prophet, then we should try to stay for one more day. And the rami takes place on the 13th, after which all of the arkan of hajj have now been completed. Before leaving hajj, and this is actually the last thing that we should be doing, which is called tawaful wada. Tawaful wada basically means the farewell tawaf. It's as if you are going to the Kaaba and you are saying to the Kaaba that, you know, I'm bidding farewell to you and I don't know when I'm going to see you again. So this tawaf, if we are spiritually aware, should be a very emotional tawaf. It should be a very moving tawaf. It should be a time when we are, you know, standing next to a loved one and we are, you know, our heart is being ripped out of our chest because we are leaving the one that we love so much. That's how powerful this tawaf should be. This tawaf al-wada should be done. The last thing that we do before we leave, this should be this tawaf al-wada. Okay? And by last, I mean according to the logistics that the travel agent has given you. Okay? So the last possible thing, so say for example, the travel agent tells you that you're going to leave at Dhuhr time. So between Fajr and Dhuhr, you should have this completed and done. Okay? So this is Tawaf al-Wada', you should try to perform it. And again, very emotional, saying farewell to the Kaaba. Take your time, make the two rakat of Tawaf at the end, and basically make a lot of dua while in prostration, and after the two rakat, to enable you, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to come back again and again and again. We all make the dua that despite our shortcomings, we don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deprive us of visiting His blessed house. We're all sinners, we all commit sins. We should be humble enough to admit that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we should also ask Allah that, oh Allah, do not deprive us of visiting His house again and again because of those sins we commit. So keep this point in mind during the Tawaf al-Wada', inshallah. This was a very simplified procedure of Hajj. I'm sure that the scholars that are with you in your groups, they will be there to answer any questions that you have while you are in Hajj. And also, I would like to specifically point out that do not forget the spiritual elements of Hajj. Yes, we go through the motions, just like we pray the Salat, and when we say Salam, we don't even realize what surah we prayed, you know, where our concentration was. We don't want our Hajj to be like that. We want our Hajj to be accepted. We want our Hajj to be perfect, inshallah. It's not going to be perfect, we know that, but we can try our best. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the Hajj from you and accepts the Hajj from me. If you run into me, inshallah, please, come and meet me and say salam to me, inshallah. I would love to see you over there. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.